Baker Mayfield, undraftable, off my board.
The Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
What a beautiful throw by the Baker!
Victor! Hasta la vista, baby!
Welcome in, Browns fans, to your final comprehensive breakdown episode of the year, okay? So I've done these all year. I've traditionally split them up by offense, defense, but this one we're going to do as one because I really want to move forward. Not a wildly important game, as you all know, and I really want to, like I said, move forward with the season, off-season, and wrap this thing up, but I don't want to not do my due diligence. I've done this for every game, preseason, regular season. I know this game means nothing in the grand scheme, but I do think there are some things to take away from the performances in this game. So we're going to start on offense, okay, where the Browns ran 66 total snaps. And in this game, offensively, it was actually a bit heavier in the personnel department in 12 personnel, which is a big uptick, which is just two tight ends. Traditionally, they go a little more three tight ends than two tight ends. So I wanted to make sure to note that. They went 66 plays, 23 from 11 personnel, 20 came from 12 personnel, which is a big uptick. Like I said, only 10 from 13 personnel, 2 from 3 personnel, which is really random for them to have no backs, 3 tight ends, 2 receivers, 4 plays from 22 personnel, and then 7 from 21 personnel. Alrighty. And Pro Football Focus had them split. It's 16 gap schemes and 16 zone schemes right down the middle on that. Okay. As far as run game, we'll get to that in just a bit. So total snaps, guys who played all 66 were your O-line and your quarterback. Donovan Peoples-Jones played 53 snaps. Jarvis Landry played 48, 47 from Dearness Johnson, as he obviously was the workhorse in this game. 41 from Austin Hooper, 39 from David Njoku, Harrison Bryant, 34, 36 from Anthony Schwartz, so he was your third most popular receiver on the field. Only 16 Nick Chubb snaps, which probably offends a portion of the fan base, you know, whatever. Andy Janovich, 7 snaps, 5 snaps for Demetric Felton, and a productive 5 snaps as he catches a 10-yard touchdown. Jamarcus Bradley gets 3 snaps, and then Blake Hansen, 1 unbalanced formation down the goal line, gets 1 snap as well. Let's shift over. We'll talk about the highest offensive grades. Those were, most of your offensive linemen because they played well. Batonio, Hudson, and Jedrick Wills were all three above, 85 and above, because Jed Wills is an 84.9 collectively. And then Felton is your last guy above 80 at 82.7. Wyatt Teller with the 79.1. Jarvis Landry, 73.1. So that's all-encompassing. J.C. Tretter wraps out your O-lineman with a 71.5. Nick Chubb with the 70.6. Okay, let's go down the line performance-wise. So Case Keenum in this game, pretty much a Case Keenum game. 17 of 24, a buck 76, and he labored to get there. 2 touchdowns. He did have a nice touchdown ball on the over route, on the variation of Yankee concept. That touchdown was 29 yards to Jarvis Landry. It was a nice ball, good touch. Really simple, and an example of how simple this offense can be if you decipher coverage the right way, which he did. He did a great job of, got the football to Landry. That's a touchdown. Had another touchdown on that quick now throw, the now screen to Felton, and that gets him 2. But you see, like, the 2 turnover-worthy plays from him, which are kind of Case Keenum plays. Like, he's going to be the ultimate game manager, but he's going to have a couple, like, dicey plays when you're looking, you know, kind of back on things. What's he doing here? What's he doing there? It kind of doesn't feel out his athleticism as well as he needs to anymore. And like I said, they gave him 1 turnover-worthy play. I think he should have had 2. He obviously had the fumble where he tried to extend that bootleg, and he should have just flipped it away, threw it out of bounds, tried to extend it, ends up trying to throw it, and he fumbles before he can get the throw off. And then the end zone interception, which I thought was just an unnecessary throw with 9 seconds left, trying to force the ball into the end zone with a combo route, which to me got tipped. I get that, but I just didn't really like the decision to throw it into the end zone where the Bengals were clearly sitting at the goal line, defending the goal line in that scenario. So didn't love it. On the game, when he was kept clean, he was 14 of 20. It's his highest grade. He had a buck 58, 2 touchdowns, the 1 pick, 70.7 passing grade. And then When he was under pressure, he was 3 for 4 for 18 yards, but he graded poorly because that's where his turnover-worthy play came in, the fumble that was returned for a touchdown. When he wasn't blitzed, he was 13 of 18 for 152 and a touchdown. When he was blitzed, he was 4 of 6. The Bengals didn't blitz much. He had a touchdown and a pick when he was pressured, or, well, blitzed. Play-action concepts, not the highest grade because, again, that's where the fumble occurred, and that negative is a huge impact. He took a sack on that play, had the fumble. Otherwise, he was 5 for 6 for 78 yards and a touchdown, but the fumble. Non-play-action was 12 of 18 for 98 and another touchdown. Middle of the field, the medium depth, 10 of 19 was where he was best. Intermediate left is where he graded best. Obviously, if you think about the touchdown throw to Jarvis, he was 4 of 6 for 74 and a touchdown intermediate left. It was a Case Keenum game. You could look at some of these games and be like, could he have solved some of the Browns' issues where Baker was really struggling? Maybe. But he certainly is not much more than a league average backup who's getting paid pretty handsomely. So that money will come off the books.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Let's talk wide receiver performances in this game. Jarvis Landry, trying to look at the team here. I don't know if I pulled up the right stat on this one. I want to look at just receiving grades. There's what we're looking for. So receiving grades, Felton led, obviously was 2 catches on 2 targets for 18 and a touchdown. Jarvis Landry had a nice game. And if Jarvis Landry is done as a Cleveland Brown, for whatever reason, they can't restructure the contract, I don't know, was a nice send-off for him. Looked like himself. Really good stop-start. I liked seeing that stuff from him, creating some separation. He had 6 catches on 8 targets for 75 and a touchdown. And he caught some of those gritty catches that have been his calling card since he's been in Cleveland. Down the line, Harrison Bryan had a 66.5. He had 1 catch on 3 targets for 9 yards. Not much else to speak of here. Chubb had 1 catch for 2 yards. Donovan Peoples-Jones ends up with a pretty poor 58.2 receiving grade, catching 3 of 4 targets for 38. They credited him with a drop in this one. And the same with Anthony Schwartz, where he dropped the slant route. He was 1 catch on 3 targets for 13, and Njoku was 2 catches on 2 targets for 11 yards. Not much to speak of in the wide receiver group. I thought, Peoples-Jones was fine. I thought Schwartz has to catch that slant. There was another contested ball that he maybe could have plucked, but those are the two guys I'm paying the closest attention to in the wide receiver room. Peoples-Jones, again, caught a ball on the move that he turned into. I think his long was 22 yards on the day. He had 3 slot snaps, 23 wide, so that speaks to it. Jarvis had 11 in the slot. Harrison Bryan had 4, 7 for Njoku, so they moved the tight end group around a little bit. But they were, they were fine. I thought for the most part, 3 catches for first downs for Jarvis, 2 catches for first downs for Peoples-Jones, and those are your leaders. Otherwise, not much to speak of, not a huge passing, huge passing day, so you really wouldn't expect all too much from that group. The run game was led by Nick Chubb, who grades out at a 69.0. Nice. He had 1 missed tackle forced that long run of 35 yards, ends up with 58 on the day, does a nice job in pass blocking where he gets a 75 grade, picked up 3 first downs. Just a nice game. After contact per attempt, he had 7. Dearness Johnson was more of the workhorse, obviously. 25 carries, 123, a touchdown, a 67.6 run grade. Liked his performance, man. He forced 4 missed tackles. Just a nice feel for cutback lanes, man. He only had a long of 13, but he ran 3 times for 10-plus yards. So you like that. 8 first downs rushing for him in 13 zone and 11 gap snaps. So really, really liked his performance a ton. If they're going to do these Anthony Schwartz reverses, they need to do them quicker. They did one to Schwartz and Felton, and they hit too slow. Schwartz only went for 3 yards, a guy in his face immediately. Felton went for 6 yards there in the first quarter. Had to speed the tempo of those up somehow. Not entirely sure what they want to do that. They could do some motion. They could do tighter splits. it's got to be quicker. It's got to hit way quicker. So hopefully they can rectify that. Maybe something off outside zone in the future where they like to sell people down the line of scrimmage. Not sure on that one. It's got to hit quicker. So let's shift over to the blocking side of things. 27 pass block snaps in this game, and the Browns were pretty good. They only allowed two pressures and two hurries. I thought, you know, one of the hurries was self-inflicted from Keenum, but otherwise it was one of their better overall protection days. Again, Cincinnati playing some of their backups, I get that, but one of their better days, I thought. True pass sets, they had eight true pass sets. The only person who struggled with a true pass set grade was a 46-4 from Wyatt Teller, who just, man, like peaks and valleys for Wyatt Teller. They've already signed him. I need him to be more consistent. He'll dominate, and then you'll have some plays where you're like, that technique is terrible, and you cannot get away with it. So you need to see a little more consistency. You can see phases of the game where he's pulling, where he's out in space, where he's cleaning up, like if his man doesn't come and he's cleaning up a block on someone else, he'll make highlight blocks. I need him to make the consistent Joel Bitonio in a phone booth type blocks to be one of the he's one of the best guards in the NFL. I need him to become the best guard in the NFL in the immediate future for what he's being paid, and he needs to clean up some of that stuff. But otherwise, again, man, like Jed Wills, an 84-3, 82-8 for Bitonio, 79-1 for Treader. James Hudson, a 71.4 pass block grade on those true pass sets, and they grade, you know, your technique and some of those other things. But just a really good day for everybody, and you like to see that from Hudson. And again, I know it's not the elite of the elite for Cincinnati as they're resting people, but he's not a starter either. So for him to perform well, that's the steps you want to see him take advantage of. What I did like more than anything else is how well he graded in the run game, because he has not graded well in the run game all year. He had a 92.3 zone blocking grade, fantastic, and the highest gap blocking grade at 70.9. So that's huge for James Hudson. Huge. Joel Bitonio, 92.8 in zone. The Browns dominated zone running game. They had 83.1 for Teller, 91.4 for Wills. Treader went for a 67.4. Hooper was great. And then this is a part of what Hooper's draw is. He can really block, man, when he focuses up and does it the way he's fully capable of. 83.3 blocking grade in zone for him. The gap stuff, hit or miss in the 50s for almost everybody else. Just kind of average, but Hudson was really good, and that should be commended. So that kind of ends the offense. We switch to the defense now, and it was an interesting game because the Bengals only went for 182 yards on 51 plays. And if you look at the defensive stats, as far as alignments go, in this one you got 11 base snaps and 44 nickel snaps. So what they did, when any time they're in a situation where one of their best isn't playing in the slot, Troy Hill, they like to, if they have three corners they trust, even with Denzel out, they have four outside guys they trust, they'll put Greg Newsom in the slot, and that's what they did in this one, is put him in the slot. So I think if I'm looking at this from alignment perspective, he had 33 snaps in the slot, Grant Delpit had seven, Greedy had four, and some of these are situationally based, MJ Stewart had three, so really like that they'll feel comfortable doing that in the future. You know, Greg's ability to play inside now is so important to the versatility of a coverage group that's got a bunch of guys, man. Like MJ Stewart only played 16 snaps, but again, was effective. He had two assisted tackles, one tackle on his own. Really, really liked his performance. 80.6 defense grade, 75.1 coverage. You know, Clowney stood out because he had four total pressures, two sacks, got some nice incentives. 88.3 pass rush grade, two stop tackles, really great game from him. His future hangs in the balance. Hope they can bring Clowney back. We'll see what the contract talks look like. The same with MJ Stewart, who I think has performed so well in the back half of the year that you really consider feeling comfortable, semi-comfortable, letting Ronnie go, Ronnie Harrison, because that's a contract that might be a little more than what you want to pay at that position, considering what you have coming up in Denzel Ward, so on and so forth. Jacob Phillips, again, just like last year's final game of the season, this year, the same sort of flash. Like, this is the guy they need him to be as the Mike next to JOK, and we even got brief flashes of him. 76.9 total grade, seven stop tackles, fantastic, eight total tackles. He had a pressure, a sack on the game, 62.9 coverage, 68.7 pass rush, 68.6 tackle, all above average to good marks, 70.5 run defense, and a 76.9 overall. Really, really good. You needed that. to see that, because we going into this offseason, do you need another linebacker or not? Kind of trying to make those decisions. You definitely don't want to have that decision lingering. And you don't want to not know what you have with them. So they get a glimpse again. I like Jacob Phillips. I think he can be a nice player for them. Curtis Weaver had 6 snaps, graded well. He had a pressure. Nice to see him back. AJ Green, a guy I tweeted about today, not a great tackle game. He had 4 tackles. They ended up chalking him up with a miss, which hurt his tackle grade. But the 90.0 coverage grade and 35 coverage snaps, really, really good. Like, he's a player in the secondary and makes the Browns legitimately four deep in the secondary. I'm going to talk more about AJ Green right after this break.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So, like, to me, as I look at AJ Green, I've saw him develop through the year, the more and more trust they've placed in him. He was the leader in coverage guy. I mean, him and Grant Delpit and Greg Newsome never came off the field. They had 54 snaps, obviously 3 penalty snaps. They never came off. So the 51 snaps, they played them all. Jacob Phillips played 46. Greedy played 41. John Johnson played 40. 39 for Malik McDowell. 37 for Anthony Walker. Jordan Elliott played 36. 34 from Tommy Togiai, 33 from Miles, who had 2 pressures and a sack. He graded well again, as usual. And then 32 from Clowney, 24 from Odenebo. JOK, before he left with his injury, had 23 snaps in the game. So I should have noted those a little bit earlier. But finishing up some of the grade stuff, Grant Delpit played well again. You know, Grant Delpit, if you look at his collective season mark now, Grant's going to be a 63-8, a 70. You know, above average in everything. Like, you know, pretty good for a rookie year with 389 coverage snaps, 204 run defense snaps. Had a sack on the year. He had 44 tackles. He did miss 9 tackles. You'd like to see that come down a little bit. But, you know, I feel pretty good about where Grant is right now and where his future goes. John Johnson was fine, adequate. Greedy Williams' 68 coverage grade was good. He had a nice pass breakup in this one. Anthony Walker, Mac Wilson didn't grade all too well in the 50s, and then you get into the 40s. I thought Greg Newsome played a better game than a 50.2 mark. But again, the Browns are looking for defensive tackle solutions. Tommy Togiai, Jordan Elliott, and Malik McDowell all grade pretty terribly. Malik McDowell, again, a 28.9, a guy who started the year in good graces with a lot of people, but has faded, heavily, heavily faded as the year has gone on. Went through a really rough stretch in the middle of the year and does not close well. We'll get to we're going to recap almost every single player. We're going to do an individual pod recap on every guy. And, you know, the 8 missed tackles really hurt him. The run defense wasn't good. The pass defense is better. He generates some pass rush, but the run defense stuff is a problem. And they're looking for answers. Togiai, Elliott, they're trying to find it. So that position, although young and some guys that they're still trying to mold, are guys that they're trying to figure out who's the future of that position. Run defense grades, the highest went to Jacob Phillips, where I mentioned some of his metrics just a little bit ago. 3 run defense stops, which is what you like to see, a good number on the day. Next highest was John Johnson. And then most of the others down the line weren't very good on the run defense aspect, were 55 or below. Guys who played a significant number of snaps, as the Bengals did run for 79 yards when they decided to run. They ran it pretty well. It was a disjointed effort from Cincinnati in the run phase. But I did like what I saw from Jacob Phillips. So wanted to note that. Pass rushing phase, there were 20 pass rush snaps for Clowney, 22 for Garrett. Like I said, 6 pressures between them, 3 sacks. They're a dynamic duo. Clowney said after the game he hopes they can keep up the battle they have between the two of them next year or the year after, chasing, pursuing, the best version of each other. They complement each other really well. We'll see. That contract lingers, whether they can get something done or not. Curtis Weaver with your next highest pass rush grade in 4 snaps. Jacob Phillips gets a nice mark because of his pressures on blitz stuff. And then Porter Gustin, a 67.8 in 10 snaps. D tackles in the 50s. Odenebo is in the 50s at a 50.6. Nothing to write home about. Coverage stuff I want to get to as well. Like I said, AJ Green had a 90 coverage grade. He allowed 1 catch on 7 targets for 2 yards. Had that pass breakup. You love that. Jacob Phillips allowed 2 catches on 4 targets for 25 yards. He also had a pass breakup. MJ Stewart had a 75.1 coverage mark and 13 coverage snaps, where he also had a pass breakup. Grant Delpit, 68.9. Greedy Williams, 68.0 with a pass breakup as well. They were just really good. They played a lot of their base stuff, a lot of their cover 4, a lot of cover 3 Rob. They did some of their poach stuff. Nothing crazy, though. They didn't get too wild. If you can hold a team, even if it's a bunch of, or it's a ragtag team, they'll hold them to 103 yards. You really, really like how they played in the coverage phase. So that's a good one. And the special teams leaders, Mack Wilson had a 79 special teams grade, continues to be a really dynamic special teams player. Surprisingly, JOK in 7 punt return snaps, it was a 33 grade. He did not play well in that phase. That's the worst mark of the group. Herb Miller, who's obviously a fringe guy, also a 47.5. He played about every special team out there. The other guys who deserve a shout-out for playing a high volume and performing well, Andy Janovich, Tony Fields with the 69.9 grade, Elijah Lee in 22 coverage or 22 total special team snaps at a 68.1. You like to see that. So we'll see. This is the wrap, though. I mean, this is covering everything. Nice game overall. Could have won, could have lost. Wouldn't have bothered me one way or the other, but, you know, it's a win, and they leave feeling good about themselves. You know, you win, you obviously go from about pick 10 to pick 13, so kind of not great about that. But you sweep the division winner, you have a great division record, you get out of the basement, you actually win the tiebreak with the Ravens, so you don't finish last. And, you know, who knows who's going to be good next year. I'm not all too worried about that. Denver finds the right quarterback, you know, playing Denver instead of the Chargers could have been different. I don't know. Anyway. Good stuff overall. I hope you guys enjoyed these comprehensive breakdowns because it gives you all the data. I try to feed you all the data that you could be looking up to solve some of these things. Personnel data, coverage data, all that stuff I've given you throughout the year. So I hope you've enjoyed it. If you ever want to tweak to this, let me know. So DMs are open. More than willing to do some other things maybe you're interested in. Coming up tomorrow is the Twitch Chalk Talk, the final Twitch Chalk Talk covering portions of the season. We'll get to player-specific ones later in the year, but for now, I just wanted to do our last game. We'll wrap it with the defense and offensive line play from Kyle, and I'll break down some of the Browns schemes and what those look like as well. Join us for that Chalk Talk at 7 p.m. on Tuesday night. Otherwise, appreciate you guys joining today, supporting the OBR through Twitch, the website, or this podcast. You know it means the world to me. For all the time spent, you guys checking it out, it's always great. Appreciate you much. Have a great Tuesday, and go Browns.